I'm an addict named Chuck. Man, I'm nervous as hell. For me, step two, I kind of got 50 days clean, so I did some dirt on the street and that. I robbed somebody and they said I put a gun to them and that. But I had to go get my license back. So I kept telling my sponsor, I'm afraid to go do it. Because I'm afraid that, when I go down there, that I'll get arrested for what I did wrong. So I wouldn't go get my license back. And it's something I have to do to further my life. And all he kept telling me was have faith that you ain't going to go to jail or not. You know, and for me, it's I talk to other people and I share about it. As honest as I could be about how I feel. And then, anyways, when I went down there and I did it, I was hoping. I had a $107 ticket. And I was hoping that would go away because I got that in 2007. And I wish they would just wipe that off. That didn't happen. But one good thing is I didn't end up in jail. And now I gotta do a suspension, and I was having faith that ain't nothing gonna happen to me, and if it happened, I would be all right anyways. Because my big thing is I didn't want to go to jail. I mean, I don't mind going to jail, but it's just something about me. I've been to jail so many times, it's another thing. But I don't want to go clean. Which, truthfully, would be better than going, being dope sick and that. For me, it's the more honest I could be with everybody, the less insanity I'll have in my life. I keep getting, 60 days, and then I'll go out and use. I'll get 90 days, I'll go out and use. I have 5.5 years clean, and it's hard to get back to, having time clean. And the insane thing is I go back to this girl I lived with for so many years, and me and her don't get high together. But me and the rest of the whole family get high. So, I struggle with, loneliness. I'll get lonely, start missing her, start thinking about her, and then I'll go back, I'll have 60-something days, I'll go back, and then everybody else in the house getting high, and then I just start getting high again. And it ain't their fault, it's my fault for putting myself in them situations, not having that much clean time. To have faith is like my brother always tells me, and other people always tell me, if I just don't do nothing, God will put somebody in there at the right time. You know, I want what I want. When I was clean last time, I had faith in that, and then I got a new girl, and then that was I was praying for God to remove her, because that got so insane, and shit, I don't know what I want. You know, I'm 50-something years old and don't know what I want. So, I gotta have faith that life will get better if I just do the right things. Things will all work out. And a lot of times, from being clean, though, before, it's hard to be open-minded. For me, I think I know a lot of things, and sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. I know how way things should be, but my perception of that can be all wrong too. I got to try to remind myself that's really why I'm here, you know. Coming to this one here is here to open my mind more and be more understanding and to be understood. And that's all I got.
Thank you for sharing. Next speaker here is Alan.
Addict named Alan. Home group is Saturday morning. No longer alone. Trenum. I'm doing a second step, right? Okay. I just woke up. The second step for me, when I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, I mean, I tried everything in my power. I was stuck in active addiction for 28 years, in and out of county jails, did a 33-month state bid, and I struggled all my life, but, you know, the only thing that was left for me was to turn to God. You know, like I say, I tried everything, and I'm just, you know, so grateful that to be where I'm at today. And I could not do it without a God of my understanding in my life today. I couldn't do it with the people that I met in these rooms. I actually just got a new sponsor today, and I was stuck on a 4-step for a long time, and I'm going to start over with step one, and thoroughly work them this time. I didn't thoroughly work the steps, but, you know, being restored to sanity is, I thought it could never happen for me. Because my life was insane, all my life. Unmanageable, chaotic. And it's just that, you know, I'm just so grateful that I finally accepted God into my life. I had a lot of resentments against God all my life because every time I'd do something or something would happen, I'd always say, you know, well, God, please help me get out of this one. I'll never do it again. You know, it never happened. But when I accepted God into my life, things started to change. I mean, today, my life is good. Just celebrated 4 years, which is a miracle and a blessing. And I could have never did it without having people in my life in these rooms, taking suggestions, doing the next right thing. And like I said, I'm going to start over on the steps, and hopefully that, you know, I can work through them thoroughly with this new sponsor. That's what I need to do. I've been with I had one sponsor since I surrendered and got clean, and it just got to the point where these last couple months, actually about the last year, he ain't been, you know, really doing nothing for me. So hopefully that everything will, you know, I can start this process over again and work the steps thoroughly like I should be doing. I just continue doing what I'm doing and just keep praying to the God of my understanding and help me to, you know, I do that on a daily basis. That's one thing I do is pray a lot. Every morning I ask the God of my understanding to help me make it through the day clean and sober, and at the end of the day I thank him, and, you know, I've been doing that since I surrendered, and it's been working. Like I say, you know, it's when I first come around these rooms and heard the God word, it was like, am I in the right place? Am I ready for this? But when I hit that second step, it was, I started to change. You know, I started to see a lot of changes in my life. I worked the first step pretty quick, and when I did hit that second step and did get a God on my understanding in my life and used him on a daily basis, it's just like things started happening. And it just, you know, it just continued on. This, you know, as far as I'm concerned, this program's the greatest show on earth. I mean, it saved my life. It's just awesome. That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you. Tell me a little bit about your job, how it was working. You had a job right here, that's not possible.
And then I got out of, like I said before, I did a 33-month state bid as a direct result of my addiction. Actually, it was for an armed robbery, which I am proud of, but, you know, that's what my disease took me. I had to do what I had to do to get my next one. That's what I had to do. I got out of prison. I was out 3 days and went right back to the streets. And my PO actually hooked me up with somebody in a drug and alcohol program and a mental health. I suffer from mental illness also on top of the addiction. And my PO forced me to follow up on my, you know, to help me. He did the right thing. He did what he had to do to help me try to stay clean and sober and continue working on my mental illness. And I did a program for about 18 months with it's the company I work for today. And after I got out of prison, like I say, 3 days, I was right back on the streets. And it's the only thing I knew. I couldn't stay clean. No matter what I did, I couldn't stay clean. I knew what the consequences were when I gave that first dirty one. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to go back to prison, or I knew I was going to end up back in another rehab, and I didn't want to do either one of them, and I did give that first dirty one. And my PO gave me an ultimatum. He said, look, I'll put you back in prison to max out your sentence. I can send you to rehab. I ain't going to do either one of them. So I had to go every other day to give a urine. And, you know, I think that was like what made me surrender, because I didn't want to go back to prison. I didn't want to go back to another rehab, because, you know, actually neither one of them worked for me, obviously, because I got out and I was right back to the streets. But getting back to, you know, where I work now, as a direct result of this program, as a direct result of getting God in my understanding in my life and using him on a daily basis, I've been blessed with a job that I've had for the last 3 years, which is the longest. I just turned 51 last week, and this will be the longest job I ever had in my life. And I got an opportunity to work on a daily basis with recovering addicts, alcoholics, and mental health patients. You know, that's a blessing. I can give back what was so freely given to me when I needed the help. When I come into these rooms, I met a lot of people that I run the streets with. You know, I got the unconditional love I needed when I come in these rooms. Nobody gave up on me. They knew I was leaving their meetings and going getting high. They stuck with me. Just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. And I kept coming back. I'm grateful I did. You know, it's a direct result of me surrendering and getting clean. It's just like these last 4 years have been off the hook. I mean, I got so many rewards from this program. I mean, I never thought I'd be where I'm at today. You know, my goal was to die an addict. And by the grace of God in these rooms, I don't have to die an addict today. I don't have to put that first one in me when I get up in the morning to get on with my day. You know, I'm actually a productive member of society today. I do what I'm supposed to do on a daily basis. And, you know, there's no way I could have ever done it without the people in these rooms. And like I say, the unconditional love that I got when I needed it, and now I just, you know, on a daily basis, I can give that back. I got a lot of my consumers that come out of prison that are in halfway houses, three-quarter houses, that actually, when I tell them where I was, what happened, where I'm at now, I actually got some of them to do the next right thing and stay clean and sober. You know, and it's just like, it's a blessing when I go, somebody calls me up and say, I didn't pick up today. You know, as a direct result of what I went through and what I told them about, you know, where you can be. I mean, if I can do it, anybody can do it. So I was stuck out there for 28 years. Didn't know nothing but chaos. My life was chaotic, unmanageable, out of control. Until I made this choice to surrender and work this program. I was started coming to these rooms in 1982. Took me till May 25th of 2007 to get clean. You know, I was forced to come to these rooms. Didn't want to be there. I had to get my paper signed and leave. Now, you know, this is my life. This is my medicine. This is what I do on a daily basis. I still hit 10 meetings a week. You know, that's what's working for me. That's what I keep doing. You know, that's keeping me from not putting that first one in me. And as long as I don't put that first one in me, you know, it's just, I know that life's going to just keep getting better and better. You know, I actually got into a loving, caring, healthy relationship for the first time in my life. You know, I couldn't do that before. Today I can do that. You know, I couldn't stay in a relationship. I couldn't keep a job. Like I said before, you know, I started working when I was 16 years old, and probably the longest job I ever have done was maybe 6 months. You know, now I've been on the same job for coming up on 3 years. And it's, you know, it's all a direct result of taking suggestions, doing the next right thing, and putting that first one in me. Thank you.
My name is Rob. I'm a grateful addict. I think we have time if anyone has anything on their mind on their second step, on the second step or the second tradition they would like to share.
Grateful recovering addict named Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Open-mindedness is a good one for me because my closed-mindedness has led me to some places that I just ought not to be. I just turned 45, and I've got 30 years of my life locked up in a 6x9 cell. The last bit was 20 years. But my mind was so closed to anything that I thought that's all I could do. My family convinced me I was worth nothing, so I made sure that was absolutely true. Every time I'd get out 2 or 3 weeks later, I'd go back in. I've been doing it since I was 10 years old. So it's the only life I knew, and it's total and utter insanity. Before I did my last sentence, I come out and I got married, and I used to drive past the county jail and tell my wife, remember this direction because this is where you're coming to see me. And she'd say, like, is that even sane? And it's like, well, yeah, this is what I do. That's where I go. That's where I belong. So being closed-minded, I was convinced that that's the only life that ever existed for me. And I knew nothing else. But if you would have asked me, my life wasn't out of control. And it was all direct result of my use. And I grew up in a biker family, so from like birth, that's what you learn, use, commit crimes, do all that. But in the process, on my last sentence, I had 16 years into it, and I woke up one morning and I don't know, I guess it was an epiphany or something, but it's just like I woke up and it's like, really? This is all you can do in life? This is all you're worth? And at that moment, and we also grew up having spiritual values, even though I chose not to practice them for myself. But I knew there was a God. I knew there was something better out there. And that's when I became aware, really aware of it in my life. And I started making some changes. Now, on the inside, we had NA and all that, but I didn't take advantage of it. The last time I was out, I tried the other 12-step program, but it was a choice of either go back to the penitentiary or get into a rehab, so I chose the rehab even though I knew I was going back to the penitentiary anyway. I was just trying to prolong it a little bit. But when I did it this time, you know, I got real deep into the spirituality thing, and I went back to my Native American roots and just started following my traditional ways and stuff like that, and I started staying clean. But I was trying to do it on my own strength. And about a week before I got out, I was facing a dilemma that would have cost me 7.5 to 15 more years after just serving 20 years. But an opportunity opened up for me to go ahead and get out. It was a bad situation I walked out into, the halfway house I walked out into. But then I met Chuck D., who ended up being my sponsor, one of the greatest guys I know. But I still didn't want the program. You know, we was forced to do 3 different meetings a week, and I would go just because I had to go. My mind was closed. I wasn't trying to hear nothing, didn't need any of you. Didn't need the program, none of that. And a friend of mine turned me on to what Chuck was doing. And what we do today is go to all these conventions and speaker jams and retreats, and we do these recordings. And the one thing he really instilled in me was to keep an open mind. Because if you keep an open mind, you'll learn some things along the way, and you just might find out you like what we do here. So in my process, that's what I did. He took me, I think the first one was a speaker jam in Newcastle, and I went and I met some people. And for the first time in my life, I actually felt love. See, in the past, it was always, you would hear, I love you, but there was always that string, or actually it was a bull rope attached to it, because you had to do something to get that love. It wasn't coming freely. And I come here, and it's like, the love that I get now, I don't have to do anything for it. All I got to do is show up, and all I got to do is be honest with myself, and it's there. All I got to do is grasp it and accept it. And, you know, I would always tell him when we'd go, it'd be like, well, we're going to this place, and it's like, Chuck, I ain't got no money. I can't do this. And he's like, look, these people love you. Just go. You won't go hungry. Anything you need, it's all taken care of, and you're going to get a good word. And I get a good word everywhere I show up today. And I show up at a lot of different places, but, you know, you have to stay open-minded. And that's, to me, in my process, that's the whole key. I have to stay open-minded. Any prejudices I had against the program, against people, all that had to go away. I can't come in thinking, because I never did the crack, and I used to have prejudgments about people to do crack. Well, I ain't that. They're way worse than me. I can't even associate with them people. Some of my best friends are crackheads and junkies, and I love them to death. But it's all part of being open-minded. I had to change my perception on the way I view people and things, because if I look at where my addiction took me, then I can understand where their addiction took them. And that's what I grow from. The path may have been different, but the end result is always the same: jails, institutions, and death. So that was the key to my process, my clean date. And I say this a lot because I have to remind myself it's 4-15-05. I've never done nothing for that many years, nothing. It's always like I failed at everything. Give me 3 weeks of being out, I'm back in, guaranteed. To get a little over 6 years, it's part of being open-minded. It's part of being teachable. And to be open-minded, you have to be teachable. If you're not both of them together, then you just can't get this. And for the longest time, I just couldn't get it. You know, it wasn't in me to get it. Being open-minded, I had to learn to trust people. The lifestyle I come from, I couldn't even trust myself, let alone the next person. But now I'm learning how to love. I'm learning how to trust people. And if I have a problem being open-minded, I can go to somebody, even if you might not have experienced what I went through on a particular situation or what I'm going through now. The open-mindedness comes in. You have the open-mindedness to listen to me. And if you can't offer me advice, at least I get it off my chest, and that helps. You know, so I think the key to any success in the program is open-mindedness. and being teachable and being honest. I don't know when that happened. I used to lie so much I believed everything I said. You know, but it's a growing process, and then I had to learn to put my faith in the God of my understanding, and sometimes I struggle with that. Sometimes I still just want to take control. You know, my sponsor has a saying, if you want anything fucked up beyond recognition, give it to Bob and let him alone. You know, but I'm getting better with that. I could figure a few things out. But, you know, and again, the open-mindedness, I have to have the open-mindedness to pull my phone out of my pocket and call somebody when I'm going through something. You know, and trusting people and trusting that they can either listen to me or they have something to offer me, but be open-mindedness and teachable enough to hear what they're saying, even if they ain't saying nothing. Sometimes the greatest thing people say is nothing. You know, but yeah, I think that's the whole foundation of my program is open-mindedness. You just have to stay open to new ideas. You know, take yourself out of the comfort zone. Listen to somebody. Talk to somebody. Be willing to hear what they say. That's all I got for now. Thank you. It's 1:45. I don't know.
Anyone else have any experience, strength, or hope on step two, tradition two, that they'd like to share? I'm going to close this workshop. Thank everyone for coming out.